And mantra is on the blue sheet in the white binder. So let's say the stanza once and then the mantra seven times. Bhagavan, with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispel of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, Lapis Vital. Teyata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande tada samugate soha Teyata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande tada samugate soha Teyata om bekande bekande maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha teyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha. Now let's read the four measurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I'm going to turn to page 37. And you see towards the bottom half of the page, four measurables chanting version. So let's chant that. And then if you have the white binder, it's the words by the music notes. San chan tam che de wa dam de yu dam dem par yu chi mantra eight times. She's the Buddha of great compassion. And then below that, green Taurus mantra seven times. She's a deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om tare tu re so ha. Om tare tu 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 tare tu re so ha.
To start from here, good morning. Welcome back to the class. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's good, you know. So you put question here, that's very good. So I prefer Q&A. So if you ask me two difficult questions, then you will not see me again at next Sunday. Oh, that's good. So I'll be last two before we did this question. I will read definitely today. So last two Sunday I've been trying to explain, so that, you know, because the conversation couldn't not able to explain. Sorry, Paul, you already heard this before, the last two Sunday, if you're here. So you see these old books, you know, from here right to left, all the way down there. So many of them taught by Shakyamuni Buddha, you know, historical Buddha. And there's also many commentaries written by Indian masters, you know. These are all in Tibetan, by the way. These are all in Tibetan. So, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he said, this old teaching can be looked from three different aspects. One, religion, Buddhist religion. One, philosophy. One, His Holiness, mental science, or psychology. So I just, even that, you know, that did not officially, this term does not exist into these books. It doesn't mention like that. But His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, His Holiness Dalai Lama is a great thinker. He's thinking very practical. So, before nobody even mentioned like that. I'm not sure how some people see it like that, but never mentioned. It's all about religion. So this is very good. So this is mainly taught for education purpose. Education. So now here we talk about human happiness. Even that mentioned in the prayer books, divine happiness, human happiness, may I achieve the best human happiness, sadami, deva, in the Tara practice. So if you are familiar in the Tara practice, it did mention sadami, deva, chotovness. May I achieve the best form of human happiness, divine happiness. Those terms does exist even in the prayer way before we born. Those terms. So now you start to think, you know, what is human happiness? We have body. We receive informations by seeing, smelling, hearing, touching something, eating something. Or this was through five senses. Same, not different. you get, I get, same things. And that's why His Holiness means, fundamentally, His Holiness always says, whenever He gives lecture, He says, we are same. Physically, emotionally, we are same. We are called human. You know? That's what we call fundamentally. We are all called human. We don't, fundamentally, we don't call like Tibetan, American, we are human. We feel, you feel, we feel joy, we feel pain. I feel pain, joy, you feel the same thing. So, that's the fundamental level. You know? So now you start to think, what is human happiness that you are hoping to achieve? The best one. What is it? What is it? So, eating something, smelling something, probably hearing something. Yeah, so you get joy here, there, but not 100% guarantee. 100% guarantee. And these are very heavily dependent on object. Longest object is around, even there's no 100% guarantee. If object is around, you may get some temporary joy. Is just a joy that you are praying to achieve? I don't think you don't need to pray. You don't need to pray to smell something. You can just smell. Alright? Don't need to pray, you can just smell. So we are same. We are all getting that. This looks like, I'm not sure, like, no. The first place, like, what is happiness? How you define happiness? Do you divide physical happiness, mental happiness? That's how you learn what is happiness, or maybe there are two types of happiness: physical happiness, mental happiness. Is that correct? Maybe we can divide like two types of happiness. Is that correct? I'm not sure. So maybe we all think we have this all. We all have this marvelous brain. So then we read. Then you know we think. So then we try to educate ourselves. Then we read here, there. You know we think. Now it's kind of like happiness. They're really to the test. I mean, there's no one answer. How you define happiness? That's from the test. Test. How you define? There's not one thing. Oh, this is the old butter tea. You know butter tea? There's like black tea, milk, hot water, of course, salt. All mixed together, then become butter tea. Then you put butter, For Tibetan, it's delicious tea. For some Westerners, it's very yagi. Yagi? What is called? What is called yagi? Yagi, they don't like. Sometimes they say it tastes like soup. The joy that comes from their taste, for Tibetan, is great joy. Not great joy, it's kind of joy. For you, it's yagi. So, like, who's right, who's wrong? I have to say. Is that, like, kind of physical happiness that you're experiencing? You know, like eating habanero, or jalapeno? Habanero. Yeah. Do you, if somebody asks, you are kind of like, almost like, you see like steam coming out of your ears and everything, and like your whole face is red. If you ask that person, do you enjoy it? That person says, yeah, it's very good. So that very good, I'm not sure based on that very test that you're experiencing. If somebody said, oh, no, I don't want to eat this, this very suffering. So in Argentina, they drink mate. Mate, you know mate?
Mm-hmm.
They're like some kind of herb, they put it together, it doesn't taste good also. So they love that, they, you know, they drink the small cup, they drink, then they share, you know. So I tried that, it's kind of like not sweet, it's like sour, it's all not good. So I would say I don't like the taste. That taste don't give me joy, it give me suffering, or suffering, or whatever you say. Kind of complicated. So this is like just physical, something that you see the source, It's all, that's what I was wondering, how you define happiness. I don't have something to think about. Okay, I'm not. I can't make decisions here. Something to think about. So there's the, for sure, is getting from object. Longest object there, then maybe there's not even 100% guarantee you may get joy. Same object you are using some occasion, you don't get any joy, zero joy. Sometimes you get some joy. It's all varies. So there's physical part, five senses, physical part, you know, that we all do the same thing, even the animal do the same thing. So now, other hand, that's called mental. Does that make sense? If somebody called mental happiness, does it make sense? So now, that is more complicated, how you define mental happiness, how you define. Very little to do with what you eat, what you look, what you see, shape, color. Very little to do with that. It's not just that. It is something to do with the six mental kinds. Six. You say five senses, sense, or you say six sense. What do you say?
Five.
America, there's no six senses. America, six senses doesn't exist. Then why there's a restaurant name called Six Sense?
We recognize it. We recognize it, but we don't.
Well, that's very interesting. Do you believe? I'm not saying that. Do you believe? I think. What do you think about Six Sense? Is there Six Sense or no?
Guess what? There's a concept of a Six Sense in the West, and it refers to something like clairvoyance. Not a physical sense.
Oh, that's much more tougher than six senses. that's much more. Oh.
Intuition.
Maybe America wants the best of everything. That's why they put six senses, like what, the clairvoyance?
Like clairvoyance, yeah.
Oh, I don't have clairvoyance. So, but I'm going to say I do have six senses. Oh.
What are the six senses?
So we can't talk because America, you don't have six senses.
Teach us, then we will.
So see, we do talk about in the teaching. There are a lot of explanations about clairvoyance, but there are many, many different levels of clairvoyance. That's called Mushe. Mushe means clairvoyance. Ability to hear sound thousand miles away. Ability to see shape and color 1,000 miles away. The ability to read people's mind. this all gained through meditations. This all requires focus. Without focus, this clear void is out of question. It requires a lot of focus or concentration. You know, without concentration, clear void will not happen at all. It never happened. So, but then there's no similarity. Identical. Say identical, that probably produced by. In the text it says medicine. I'm not sure what kind of medicine. In the verse, and it also says substance. I don't think it's drugs. I don't think that's drugs. The ze, me, nga. Then mantra. Sometimes people recite large quantity of mantra. So then that's one way to, they say, not authentic one, but identical one. You gain some kind of clear one. So what we all have commonly, you say here in America, not America, so here people say intuitions, instinct. That's called nguxie, sounds like last word sounds the same. Nguxie, clear voice. Rixie, last word same. Rixie does not mean clear voice, it means something you can tell by looking at the person or environment, you can predict, you can perceive, that's called rishi, this everybody has, sometimes their guess is right, when they guess something is right, that's called rishi. You don't need to do any meditation, that you know comes with the, it's like, I say, we are born with that. You could say like a natural gift. So anyway, so that's not topic, sorry. So we just carry out by that. Six senses. Six mental consciousness. That's the six senses. Six mental consciousness. There's something I can think, I just see. What the eye sees, shape and color. Without that, that's all I does. I can, I cannot think. Nose cannot think, tongue cannot think, you know, they just feel. Body, you know, can't think, oh, this is yellow, but cannot think. Something they think, distinguish, differentiate, oh, this is not good, this looks good. That is called sixth mental consciousness. What do you think? Do I think? I think? Something we call eye consciousness that perceive shape and color, that's called eye consciousness. Ear consciousness, something that hears the sound. So that consciousness, or whatever you call, what do you call? Sense? Ear sense power has no ability to think. But it's very obvious that you do think. What do you call that? So that's called six mental consciousness. That's the six senses, that's number six senses. There, so many things happening there, so much things happening. Then, from there, life get kind of like interesting or like not interesting. Everything happened from there. Not much happened. If there's whatever, there's no ability to think. If that one is always, not always, most of the time, it's kind of like calm and relaxed. Information you receive, then you analyze before you react. You do total analysis before you react. So there's a lot of benefits. Nangsi damga to charvas. Nangsi, every single appearance that you experience in this life, there's a term in the teaching called Nangsi. Nang, everything you're seeing, Nang. Or appearances, whether it's like positive, negative, neutral, everything that we experience in this life, Nangsi damga to charvas. Then you see them as like quintessential instructions, not quintessential destructions, instructions. So that's where now part of the way His Holiness divided mental science. Huh? It's not talking about I sense power, there's nothing to think about. No. Something here, deep down. So, like, Yeah, somebody asks you, how are you? You say, I'm happy, I'm now good, I'm well. How much they're related to the physical level, how much the answer is coming from physical level. But I think it's important to analyze. Well, that's my point, it's important to analyze. When you say, I'm happy, what happened? So in order to, Lama Yishi also wrote this book, so Becoming Your Own Therapist, that book. So my here, you know, or my friend, you come here every Sunday, I feel moral responsibility to introduce whatever has been said in the teachings and also and explain, make sure that don't waste your time here. So so now, there are certain mindset that we need to be aware if you are seeking happiness. If you are seeking happiness, huh? Regardless what you believe, of course, as I mentioned before, we all are. Every single second, whether you are Buddhist, not Buddhist, believer, not believer, atheist, we are seeking happiness. Is that true? That's the fact. It's not nothing to do with the Buddhist religion, it's nothing to do with the Christian religion, it's just how is the fundamental wish or desire to be happy. So in that base, the sudden mindset very important to be aware. Oh. So now here, I put it like this, six root troubling thought or awareness. Technically, they say delusions. I'm not sure like how much that makes sense in English, I'm not sure delusions. In Tibetan it's called nyumung. It has meaning. When you say word nyumung, that's something to you to be aware. It's not something you to be careless. Because that makes your life miserable. That's why you have to be aware. Oh. So if you are familiar with these six things, then whatever term that you use, I just put it there. It did not say like that. So, but that's more practical. I think that's more, it explains more the meaning behind that. That's why I put six root troubling thought. Troubling thought. That's what I put. That's why I put based on the experience. You know, it makes sense. So delusions, afflictions, these are technical terms. So whatever term you use. Attachment, first one. Second, hatred. I'm not sure distinguish between anger and hatred, or maybe the hatred is much deeper, I don't know. So the third one is the pride. Fourth one is like, literally it says like doubt, but you know that whoever translated this, it did pretty good job. It's put like ignorance, not knowing. So, first one, attachment, second one, hatred, third, pride, fourth, ignorance, then the fifth, wrong view. So lately, maybe my brain is not working very well. So I put the title of six, then I just listed only five. So that happened with this in our class too. Serious about tragedy to Decha, Teshi Kondra Naja, Maria, Tawa. Deja, Serious about tragedy to Decha, Teshi Kondra Naja, Deja, Teshi Kondra Naja, Maria, Tawa. Naja, Maria, Tawa, Tesam. So, okay. So that probably, the doubts probably needs to be separated. Let's call Tesam Nimoje. like troubling, the doubt that comes up, troubling, doubt that comes up, like troubling doubt, not every doubt. Or should I go here? It's not like, you know, that doubt is necessary in order to learn, but here there's like more like tesam nimoji, decha, tishi kongdo, ngaja, marik, tawa, tesam ya, the doubt needs to be suffered. Attachment, hatred, pride, troubling doubt, wrong view, ignorance. Oh. So this doubt is not any kind of doubt. This is something, that's called root. Why is it called root? So it's time to examine. Oh, yesterday I had a very tough day. I was very unhappy. Time to analyze what happened. Something happened, something must happen. You can't just say I'm very unhappy. People usually don't say it for no reason. Yeah, there's a reason. So now the question is, these are listed like that, six root troubling thought. What can be done? Unfortunately, there's no medicines that you can buy in Walmart, Target. There's no medicine for them. So many things you can buy, but you know, that is part of the thought. It's a part of the thought. So now there's there's 20 secondary troubling thought. Should we go through that or not? Or save it for next Sunday? Maybe save it for next Sunday. What do you think? Then I will read these questions. First, this six root troubling thought. Deja. First one, attachment. Why is like the one of the root troubling thought? Why? Do we have any experience? Do we have any experience that's caused by attachment? Attachment to shape, attachment to color, attachment to us. Now all the information that we perceive, we receive through the five senses. What happens if you're clinging on that, if you're clinging so tightly on that, what happens? Sound mainly refers to somebody else. It's not like we are talking about sound that's related to the people. People say the words, you know. So now we need to discuss, okay, what can be done? What can be done for that first root troubling thought, attachment. Then, second one, hatred. What? Second one, hatred. What we should do? Is it wise enough to invest so much energy and time? So please, now time to talk. What can be done when it comes down attachment? What you do as a human? What you do? So this is I believe this is mental science. This is psychologists. If psychology, the meaning of psychology, helping someone
with the mind.
Study of the mind. So that's exactly what we're doing. We are studying the mind. We are here studying the mind. So then, according to the book that Lama Rishi wrote, becoming your own therapist, yeah. So, require a lot of thinking. A lot of thinking, because, you know, is this challenge for everybody. Whether you're Christian, Buddhist, this is a challenge for everybody. It's not just all for one group, or this group is free from that. No, everybody. Sitting here, does it help? You're welcome to sit here. You're welcome, so we can rotate every Sunday. You can sit there, I can sit there. Does it help? You can wear this. Does it help much? I can order a budget then, distribute it. Think. When you start to think, that helps. When you start to think, need to calculate very precisely and think, that's how this can be defeated. Weaken, defeated, reduce. You are much better off. If that increase out of hand, life is not going to be calm. Not because somebody decided that, no, because this inside what's happening. So now there's many, many meditation you can do when it's come down to that. First needs to be understand, need to be aware of every single thing, even they look same, changing, constantly changing. It's not based on whether you like or not. There's the nature, it's changing. There's nothing much you can do. Changing. We don't remain baby. When we are born, we are called baby. Baby, we are not longer called baby. We are now grown up. The change, there's nothing you can do, whether you like or not. If you don't like, that's unfortunate. There's nothing we can do. That's the part of the package. So that needs to also, this kind of awareness or knowledge might help you to loosen up yourself a little bit flexible. Everything changed, including this life. Your perception can change. There's nothing that remains forever. Same thing, everything changes. So maybe knowledge about what we technically call impermanent means to be aware of change. Therefore, maybe practically it's not really good idea to hold so tightly on something that will eventually change. That's probably not wisdom. You need to probably sit back, look again, and think a little bit deeper. So you may have some cup that you very like, you know, maybe it has history from the family. Don't ever think this is going to be here forever. That's a mistake. Because this very nature, it will break. If you don't handle well, it will break. When it breaks, don't blame yourself. So we are very good at beating ourselves. Again and again. Even though Buddha said, don't do that, we do it again and again all the time. Buddha said, cheer up. No, so lift up your spirit. No, we just want to beat. We are very good at that. There can be change, no. This just example. Now you could say the same thing, but you know, it's my position to say at the center, but you could, but saying is not enough. You need to think every day, you know, change. Everything changes. Maybe that may help, you know. That maybe helps to not to clinging so tight does not mean, or it's not saying don't enjoy, of course, why not? From the Buddhist point of view, that's part of your positive karma, result of your positive karma. Yeah, you could enjoy, but don't hold very tightly, just always ready to let it go. Be ready to always ready to, no matter what it is, just ready to go. Why you have to be ready, why you have to be prepared to let it go? It's not because the very reason to build something is not to not let it go. Of course, that's not what it's saying. It's saying always need to, always do, always you, always to prepare yourself to let it go. Why? Many things happen. Many things happen. You don't have much control, many things happen. Zavannam, Shantideva said, Zavannam jama matrices. But bottom line, don't freak out, no, just enjoy your life, don't freak out. Enjoy your life, because bottom line, everything that you love will disappear. You need to be aware. It's not like somebody saying to make your life miserable. It's just explaining the fact. Zavannam jama matrices. Everything that you love, will disappear. Oh, that's the fact. Oh. Everything you don't like, everything you dislike, will disappear too. Zavannam jam mejuji, mizannam jam mevajus. Baja mevajuade, you yourself, someday. No. Therefore, everything, that's the nature, everything, that's the nature. Don't try to go against the nature. It makes your life more miserable. That's the nature. It's nothing to do with the Buddhist religion. It's the fact. Does that mind, does that thinking will help? Oh, of course help, you know. Zavannam jaya mejuji, mizannam jaya mevaju. Dajya mevaju, tishitam jaya mevaju. So, enjoy long as you can. Don't hold on with this wrong view. It should be there forever. No, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. That's called attachment. That's called mistake. That does not bring you happiness. It brings you more trouble. That's called troubling thought. Does not mean you don't enjoy. Oh, enjoy. Of course enjoy. Don't listen to music, eat ice cream. It's not nothing wrong. But need to be, always need to be prepared, mentally prepared. When it comes down on change, need to let it go. Let it go. I did not, I'm not perfect on those things. I'm trying. You could do the same thing. Trying, you know. So, so Milarepa, he has only one clay pot. That's the only thing he possesses. Milarepa, you heard, some of the time you heard, he's meditating, roaming in the wilderness. Wilderness to wilderness. That's where he home. That's his home. He does not own anything. Meditating. One day, it's kind of raining season. He's getting down there to get water. That pot slipped through his hand and hit on the piece of rock, but broke. What he said? What you are going to say, what we are going to say, we know. We know very well. What he said? He learned. He said, "Za tadayre." Za means clay. Za, the Tibetan word. Tadayre is right there. It's gone. It is nature impermanent. He moves on. His life moves on. Oh, he said, "Oh, I should be gone this way and that way. No, I should be. I'm so stupid. Why I went? I could be wet after rain. Oh, blah 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 blah. Just gone on and on and on and on, on. Day after day, month after year." He says, it's right here, Zatata is a tatame. Nature impermanent, moves on. Like that, we could do the same thing. We could do the same thing. I'm not saying this is a piece of cake. It's hard. But if we don't do anything, it never becomes easier. That's the point. However, it never become easier. If you don't try, it's going to be hard. If you try, or Zavananja Nebhaji, Mizananja Nebhaji, or Minlam Nyamsu Nyomashis, likewise, we Chandideva, not here, the different books, Chandideva, God the Buddha's Holy Life. I think chapter number 1 or 2, somewhere there. If you read, you find. Minlam Nyamsu Nyomashis, so many things happen in the dream. So many things, joy, anxiety, fear, panic, all kinds of things happen in the dream when you're dreaming. Whatever you did, whatever you're doing now, whatever you're going to do in the future, whatever you did in the past, whatever you're doing now, whatever you do in the future, all of that, that all become part of the memory. Memory, it will become part of memory. Everything that's past, you can see them again, but beside memory, you can't really physically see them again. It's just become part of the memory. Oh, minlam nyamdo nyoma shi ngubo khanda khanje bo tede tebe yudhuji deva tamje tombe yudhuji. This all try to help you to loosen up. Don't cling too tight, just loosen up. What do you think? No, regardless of thinking. If you think, attachment is troubling thought, as likewise it mentioned in the text, if you think, I'm not asking you to believe, I'm asking you to analyze. That's what I'm doing. I'm asking you to analyze. If that becomes the problem, what one should do, okay? Oh yeah, so I'll probably then from this, maybe 20 secondary, so we will then each one that we discuss, share our experience, what can be done, what one should do, what kind of mindset that will help to get out of this trouble. Oh, so that's what we're going to discuss. Oh, so at least I started presenting so this material, so now I'll read this question. So so then please you participate, you contribute, so we'll have discussion based on that, because this is very important to discuss, because this is like the wild wave of the ocean that we are all in. We are all like push here, push there, push down, push up, because of this wave, the wild wave created by those things. People push here, push there. You know, our life is affected by those things. Oh. Yeah, so now I will read that question up here. There's a few minutes, maybe 25 minutes. How should we respond to our situations in which generosity and kindness are not received well and even cause problems for others? You understand? That's an interesting one. There's multiple questions here, multiple questions. I think the question is good, that allows us to think. Oh, I'll read one more time. How should we respond to our situations? First thing, do you go to your experience? If you have any experience, then you talk from there. It will benefit somebody. So then second, then you go based on your knowledge that you probably learn by reading. How should we respond to a situation in which generosity and kindness are not received well and even cause problems for others? Okay, that's the first question. This is for all of us. I beg people to put it here on your behalf. Does it make sense? The second part, the tendency naturally is to stop engaging in bodhisattva activities. This sounds very familiar. Makes sense? There's a second part. The tendency naturally is to stop engaging bodhisattva activities. How is the bodhisattva ideal related to a social work, helping the poor, working in education, etc. So here, the process offers three types of dessert for us. Dessert. Yeah, bodhisattva, bodhicitta, that's like, that's very, like, practically, is very, very hard to develop. So need to understand that, no? Need to understand bodhicitta. Can I develop? Of course you can develop. It's hard, it's very, very hard. It's not easy. Oh, it's very hard. Doesn't mean you cannot do, you could do. Typing. For me, it's beyond my consciousness before, when I move here. Type without looking. The goal is to teach you type without looking at the keyboard. The beginner says, just give up. Just give up, it's not going to happen. Even though it happened, the very person who is teaching you, you don't believe, it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. It requires practice and patience. Slowly, slowly, you can do. Oh, in the beginning, oh, you are telling me to type, even I cannot find a keyboard. Where's A, where's B? And now you are telling me that, like, no, like exactly like that. Bodhicitta now seems like almost like that. Somebody teaching you to type without looking at the keyboard, that's the goal. So now you are beginning to find A, B, even you can't put like, slowly, 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 you learn. Now you can type. Oh, it's no piece of cake, it requires a lot of practice. So then what do you say? First question, what do you say? What do you say? It is not a problem for I ability to see something. No, it's no problem there. It's here, now. It's going here. It's not here, it's not here, it's not here, it's not here, it's here. Now it's happening, something happening here. So, yeah.
What I would try to do is, when someone doesn't receive generosity well, I would try to understand that they're coming from a place of hurt in themselves, and it's not us. And so to understand their situation, to have compassion for it, which would help me not get upset as easily.
Very good, wonderful. Yeah, please, yeah. Contribute. Now, that's good. So that's very good.
I'm coming.
I think the first thing is to try to get in touch with what your intent is. Because there's a lot of instances where the intention is to make somebody happy. Mm-hmm. But the inaction of it is determine what it is you think would make them happy. Not necessarily what they think would make them happy. And I've seen that, you know, in a lot of cases where... I saw it in a case with our own daughter where my wife decided, you know, if she was just 20 pounds lighter, she'd be happy. Well, she looks in the mirror every day. She knows exactly how she looks. This wasn't a visual problem. And she was kind of happy with where she was. And now, the goal of my wife was to try to give her something that would make her happy. But by enrolling her in the rice diet at Duke, it was like setting off World War III, because it touched on a lot of other items that had nothing to do with weight, right? So I think a lot of times trying to get in touch with what the intent was, if you, what you want to do is to make someone happy, then you got to think about the skillful aspect of it. What is it would make them happy? Don't pick out what the action is. The action from my side is just, I want to open the door for them to be happy, not to prescribe to them what it is that should make them happy. And that's my experience with it.
Wonderful. Very good. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Geshe, I've learned to try not to be attached to the outcome. So if I'm giving something with a good intention and the person says, I don't want that, or let's say I'm at a stoplight and someone is asking for money and maybe I'll give them some money and I've knitted a hat and I'll say, well, do you want this hat? And they say, no. I say, okay. Or, do you know someone who might want this hat? And it's helped me.
So here it says like, oh, very good. So that generosity is not received well, first place. Second, it caused problem for others. That's the question. So very good. Yeah, more contributions.
Yeah.
No pressure. So no, we are no.
Yeah, I was. I think oftentimes of, and I think it has something to do with, motivation. And intent, and also being attached to the outcome. It's something that Mother Teresa said, at least she's given credit for saying this. It's a poem, and I have it on my wall at home, but if you love and but you're hated back, love anyway. If you're I don't know the exact thing, but no matter what, If you give and it's not received, give anyway. Just do it anyway. Looking at my motivation, my intent for loving and being kind and being generous and compassionate, not so that people will love me back or be generous or compassionate with me, but it's because I think that they deserve this and they should have love and happiness and kindness and generosity. So I offer it anyway. If I don't get it back, that's okay. That's not why I was doing it to start with. If that's why I'm doing it, I got to start looking at my, you know, my reason. What's going on with me? What kind of mind do I have? And so then if I got that kind of mind, then I got to work on that. So I just say love anyway, give anyway. Doesn't really matter. Just love and give. We may not get what we want back. Okay, just one example. This is the time of year when I lost my son. It's been about maybe 10 years ago or so when he was murdered. And I was able to have compassion and love for the guy that murdered my son. And it just came. It was there, you know. But a few years passed and I decided to write him, to let him know that I'm thinking about him and I still have compassion for him and love for him. And I expected him to receive that. I work with guys in prison and they've been in for a few years and they begin to feel remorse for what they've done. This guy didn't show any remorse still. You know? He still was looking at my son as being the cause. For him doing what he was doing and so forth. And that really hit me. I thought, why am I loving this guy? You know, why am I having compassion for this guy? And then that's what I thought about. It's because it doesn't really matter whether or not he receives my love and compassion. I want him not to suffer. I want him to be happy. Because he's one of those every sentient being, right? He's in the mix. And so I want that for him too. So I think that's what we always have to look. If our mind is not there, if we're loving, then that's not real love. Something else is going on. It's not love.
Yes, what has been said so far is very true. one time, I was a personal trainer for many years, and that was my job, to have people become fitter and healthier. So my roommate has this sister who is who is obese, and whose health is really ailing because of this obesity primarily. So, of course, you know, personal trainer, I said, I can fix this. I can help her. So I went and I offered my help. She hated me for this. She was really, really upset. She thought it was a criticism from my part. I was judging her. And I just could not understand this. I said, I can save this person's life. Why would she not accept this? And why would she consider this an insult? And I was very hurt because of that. But later on, I realized that this person had deeper problems, you know, more very deep psychological problems. And I just decided to let it go. Sometimes you come across with good intentions. I mean, you want something for somebody else with very, very good intentions. But that other person's life and experiences, feelings, and psychological problems at that time may be such that that she or he cannot receive that help. So what I have learned to do is to, as you said, just to give, but with caution. First, especially when it has to do something with body image or something that's very personal, I try to analyze or have that intuition you were talking about of whether that person might be receptive or not to my help, because the help may be considered as I said, as an insult. On the other hand, some other times, in spite of the fact that I, in my brain, I say, okay, well, this is the way it is, and I try to accept it, I can't prevent myself from still feeling hurt about that, and about when somebody does not accept my help, or that comes really from the bottom of my heart. And I really do not know exactly how to do it, but at least I have found out that reasoning, you know, the process, the whole situation helps a lot to make me feel better. But yes, we have to be cautious with what we give, to whom we offer it, and if that person is also ready to accept that help, which may not be the case.
Amen.
I'm going to take it a little bit larger, a global scale. I had a friend that was working in Sudan, and he was the director of a program there out of Mercy Corps, and he called me, and he was like, I cannot believe this giant shed of stuff of all the predecessors before him, of their ideas that had just been put into these sheds, lots of money just dumped, and these people thought that these things were going to better their lives, and then the community didn't want those things. So they ended up in this just kind of giant warehouse. And so what he did was he opened up the warehouse and allowed people to take what they wanted out of it and use it however they wanted. And fast forward a few years later, he was called to relocate a refugee camp, and they had evaluated a few places in Africa to relocate them to, but they didn't do enough research, and they didn't evaluate what the people really wanted to do, and so forcefully they moved these people against their will, made them pick up everything behind, and moved them to this flatter land that appeared safe, but once they relocated there, floodwaters from Sub-Sahara had come, and they were living then in the trees and didn't want to relocate again. So he was just like, so what do we do in these situations? And the thing is that if you're going to offer help, you have to evaluate what the person needs first. You need to ask them, what will make you happy? What will make your life less suffering before you even offer the help?
Yeah, very good.
think a lot of the topic here is, like, do people really know what is good for them? And when you extend help to someone, you're extending that help because you feel that's what's right for that person. And, like, say someone asks you for $10 on the street and they are a drug addict and you know this, and you say, well, I will buy you lunch for $10. And they get angry at you and say, well, you have the $10. I want the $10 for me. I don't want lunch from you. So you're in a position where, and it can be, you know, you can go over the line and say, oh, well, you give a friend advice. Well, maybe you shouldn't give your friend advice, right? It's like, how do you know what's really right for your friend? But I think there are situations in life where you truly have to evaluate and say, I know these drugs are bad for you that you're taking. And you may not see that, but I don't believe it's healthy for me to give you money to go buy more drugs. So I am placing a value judgment here, but I think that when we give, we should give from our heart and do what we feel is right. Like what Andre said, you know, that this person's not accepting your love and your forgiveness, and that's very painful. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't give it. And it's the same with the lunch or the cap to give to the person that's begging. You know that that would be a good thing in the winter to help them. So you shouldn't judge yourself harshly for their reaction to that, because it's coming from your heart. You're doing what you feel is right for that person.
Oh, I think wonderful discussions, very good. So, and yeah, so I don't know what to say. So, well, everything's well said. Well said, well said. So, in the first place, it's kind of complicated. It's very complicated, like not receiving your generosity well. So that hurts, right? As a human, that hurts. So what should do? So that's not easy. If you keep thinking on that, it's going to continue to hurt. So that's probably what you don't want. So, you know, it's like, but not receive well, plus criticize you. Yeah. How you deal with that? You know? So many things could happen. Mentally need to be prepared. More like it's not something, so many wonderful things are going to happen. Who knows? Maybe it does, maybe not. So many things, there's potential, there's so many things now maybe happened in the past. Happening now, could happen in the future. So now, not just receive your generosity and plus criticize you, team up with the people that criticize you, how that feels. Doesn't feel very good. Then how is about that same person comes against you and asking more help? Oh, that also happened too. What do? You can't pretend that you are bodhisattva. You are not bodhisattva. You can't pretend that you are bodhisattva. Bodhisattva, they have ability. They have their mind is well developed. Somebody asks. Come through, ask their one of the eye, they will give their eye happily. You can't do that. Well, you need to protect your eyes. If you are not mentally able to do that, Shantideva himself suggests you need to protect your eye. You could probably use your eye for better purpose. So, yeah, there are many things happening. This is hard, you know, like, You give that person so much, that person start to criticize you, teaming of other persons who don't like you, so then eventually that person come back to you, ask you more help. What they do? If you are Bodhisattva, we all know what you do. Doesn't matter, when you are Bodhisattva, if somebody asking you, somebody comes to you, asks you one of your eyes, you are, give that eye happily. That's Bodhisattva. So you are not in that position. So, so could be organization that does not receive your, your generosity well. That also happens. It will cause problem others. You know, this is more New York City. When you go, you see the people they are begging on the street. You know, some of them just have signs that say so, money for drugs. They are very straightforward. And I don't know. I don't like. Sometimes you may have this idea. When you look at their way of life, it's not right. It's not right way to live your life like that. So you want to change. Maybe they have been living like this generation by generation. Maybe you are just seeing part of it. You are just there a few days. Maybe you don't see the whole picture. Yeah, because you are looking at from your lifestyle point of view, then it doesn't look very good. What is better if you just give them something right there so then don't get involved what they do, how they live? For the sake of your mind. And you do what you can do, so then there's no ongoing commitment. You can just want to help, so whatever, as you said, whatever, like the day power knows. They know well how to live there, how they want to live their life. So just give there, rather than change educating them, it's get more complicated. That's my experience. When I travel, so when I see, I just give, I don't want to get involved, So then, of course, my friend, when you come to India, so when you see, you have probably thousands of reasons to get upset. Because you donate so much money there, now you wonder where those money went. You have legitimate concern. You have legitimate base to have concern. So it's hard. There is no simple answer. So then I think all the good answers have been set. Set it here. So I'm not really to say. not receive wealth, even cause problems for others. Questions are getting heavier. The second line is much heavier. problems. So that. How you define? Many things happening based on reason, many things happening, not because you wish, I wish, so many things. This is just part of it. Just when you go out of this, far beyond oceans, what do you see? There's so many things you see. As an individual person, practically there's so much you can do. There's so much you can do practically, even though you wish to do, practically there's so much you can do. So that's the fact. It's not, you're just imagining. So it's hard. So So the tendency naturally is to stop engaging in bodhisattva activities. That's why we should not disturb somebody who's doing good job. Now it makes sense. Or disturbing somebody who's doing great job for the sake of humanity or sake of others. Probably not good idea to disturb that person's mind, not good idea to discourage that person because that person is doing something good for others. Maybe merit-wise, you are more merit will get destroyed. Now it makes sense. Or getting angry to bodhisattvas, eat thousands of eons of merit will get destroyed. That makes sense. We should encourage people who are doing a good job. We should not disturb their mind. So that's why, you know, bodhisattva activities. So, if they feel, maybe now people don't receive my generosity very well, and not just this cause a lot of problems, people get jealous. And those people, somebody who's doing a good job, if they get discouraged, it's not good. It's not good for the humanities. It's not good for the society, it's not good for the families. Of course, no. That's why it's hurt. If you're giving something, did not receive very well, as a human, it hurts. So then you think, sometimes that happened. Probably happened to your life, happened to my life. You give something, some people respond. Some people repay the kindness. Some people don't. So then, that is there. It's kind of like, how you say, recycling. Eventually, probably you realize, you want to do something good, and you did something good. That's it. So now, when you further analyze, what went not wrong, but why this bothering? Maybe when you give, maybe you have expectations. We have something else to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of special things.
Okay. So we'll stop, otherwise we'll continue. Okay. Oh, yeah. Next Sunday, this Sunday, next Sunday. Yeah, we'll, one by one, we discuss, okay, so see what we can do. Okay, oh yeah. Can you just say one stanza, just short.
Go to page 246. For the Master Shantideva's prayers. So we'll just say the first stanza, and then the last stanza.
Very good.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits, for as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain. Until then, may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Short life. Yeah. Then 244 and 245 for the short long life prayers. First and for His Holiness. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine. You masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, safer of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live well. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.
And Christy Beth has something special for her family program teachers?
Oh, I completely forgot my question.
Hello, hi Geshe.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I completely forgot.
Mm-hmm. We finished our children's classes the weekend before Thanksgiving. And then we take a break over the holiday season when there's a lot of other things happening for families. And so we'll start again on January 4th, I believe. We're going to do a Dorji Kadjo with the kids. There is a Dorji Kadjo here on New Year's Eve night, but for some families that don't go out that night or are traveling, we started doing this last year. With Don Brown, who this practice is very dear to, and he knows how to teach it to us. Mm-hmm. And so we do that, and the kids will have a Gaga Ball tournament that day to kick off the new year, right? And then we're going to talk about how we find meaning in our world and in our daily lives and our work in school. So our teachers, part of their appreciation today is to get them to maybe start thinking about if they want to continue teaching, how they'll continue teaching, and kind of like bring into their heart the principles of, well, I guess the principles, and then aspiration and service and courage, which is how we find meaning. This is part of our curriculum that we teach with the kids called the 16 Guidelines. This past fall, we taught on how we relate to others. So that encompasses gratitude, responsibility, forgiveness, and respect. So every week, teachers bring to the kids their own practice, their own minds, and how they feel they can be of benefit to the kids. So I'm going to say the names of all our volunteers, and I'd like for you to stand up and come receive a thank you from Geshe-la. And even if they aren't here, just listen to the names. And when you see them or pass them by, thank them from us as our community for their time and service. So we have some teams of people. We have Joanna and Colleen, who were integral in helping transition the preschool room to the refuge room. So now there's a miniature altar in there at this level of small children to learn how to do water bowls, turn on the candles. And it's a real altar. It has everything that a real altar has, but smaller, and then everything they shouldn't touch is a little bit higher. So it's very skillfully put together. And there's also now headphones with, did you guys know we have a radio station? We have a radio station. You can tune in on 90.3 and put this little radio in your pocket and put a headphone on. So even if you have sensory dilemmas or you have hard of hearing, you can use these radios. They're in the refuge room. Or if you have a little one that won't stay in the refuge room and so therefore you can't take teachings and you have to be running around the stupa with them, you can still take teachings with your headphones on. So if you see Joanna and Colleen, please thank them for helping with that. And then we have in the elementary room, which meets out in the other building, Adriana, Kelly, Shannon, Naga, and Annalisa, if you want to stand up. I want to highlight the 16 guideline of forgiveness for this classroom. So even if you forgot that you were supposed to teach and you didn't know what you were supposed to teach and you blink and all of a sudden there's seven children in front of you and it's Sunday morning, you forgive yourself for, okay, I'm here, I got here, and I'm doing this, and you wing it. Or you've prepared all week, and then only one kid shows up. It's forgiving our community, you know, for, like, not meeting your expectations, that you have this amazing lesson plan, and is this one child worthy of hearing that one lesson plan, yes, that one child is worthy. I want to highlight our middle school group, which is Vivian, Sue, Echo, Judy, Julie, Viviani, Lori, and Tim. And I wanna highlight the gratitude, the principle of gratitude that they bring fun and understanding to all these middle school kids, and wherever they're coming from, they take, you know, what those kids have come to the table from, and which is exactly what they need at that age. And then new, we have a teen program now. So I'm going to highlight Aaron, Andre, Link, Tom, and Zach. And I'm going to highlight responsibility. They saw a need. They saw that we've never had a teen program before. They saw that there were some teens that desired to continue coming and needed to unpack some of the difficulties that early teen years bring to knowing who you are and why you're here and finding meanings, relating to others, and all those special things. So thank you for stepping up. And I want to highlight Glenn and Cindy and Dorothy, if you'll stand up. None of you teach in the classroom right now, but anytime I ask for something, you deliver. You help keep me organized and thinking ahead and helping provide for the community. So thank you. And please come up and receive a thank you from Keshla.
I'm going to interrupt you.
We were a little behind. We wanted to do this after the camp, but we wanted to say a big thank you. Just the logistics and having people here, we want to say a big thank you to Christy for all she does, particularly for an incredibly successful young people's camp again. So we have a gift from Geshe-la for you. Thank you.
Annalisa, get up.
Thank you.
It'll be for Christy. Mm-hmm. Christy. Mm-hmm. I guess so. I'm going to hand it to this one.
Well, and so I'm Vincent, so Christy and I have been coming here for about 7 years now, further over, oh, this is a stage, yeah. So I'm Vincent, Christy and I have been coming here together for about 7 years, and you probably see our three kiddos run around. But this has become a very special part of our life, what we do, even like pretty much exactly what Christy sees in all the effort that she puts into the children's program, enabling that for other people's kiddos, is exactly what we effectively see that we want to do for our kiddos as well, and not imposing upon them, not telling them what they should think and how they should think, but allowing them the framework and the space and the time for that. And it's something that even in the times before we had moved to Raleigh and tried different centers and all the places that we've lived, what we found is such a special place here is that it's communicable. It's places where you can talk. You can meet people like yourself. It's a very special thing. I hope everybody realizes how special of an opportunity you have here. It's very fortunate. And even more fortunate is that you live in a really nice city. You have a lot of opportunities. It's one of those things that I think we've kind of gotten to a culture where you don't realize sometimes that you're like, Yeah, Netflix. I'll pay $10 a month for that. Whatever, Amazon Prime, or even going and splurging for once a week on chocolate chip cookies. That you start being like, yeah, I can afford that, like $10, $20, $30 or whatever it is a month. I don't like being asked for money. It's a very personal thing. I get kind of like uptight about it. Even being asked to speak about asking for money kind of doubles down on that thing. But it is one of those things of like in-kind donations. Like, do I give my time? Sure. If I see some logistics happening or like buying something that needs to happen for an event, that's fine. But even just like monthly, and the monthly thing is one that I'm most comfortable with. And even like listening to WCP Classical, like, yes, I want Classical to stay on the air. I'll give a little bit of money monthly to make sure that happens. Don't ask me about it. Just I'll factor it in. And it kind of gets comfortable. Don't ask me. And that's kind of the way that even with our monthly contributions that we've factored in as a family, as a couple, is that monthly, just it's a part of what we do. If I'm willing to, like, I mean, I don't do Netflix anymore, but it's still...
We get The Economist.
Yeah, we get The Economist. There are certain magazines that are important, like, you factor it in, whether it's monthly or yearly, but still, find that space. It's so important to have the human contact here, and especially when it's fantastic teachings, and we can all bounce those together, and as we're having this safe space to learn and discover, find what that is valuable for you. And me personally, I like the monthly, so I don't have to get asked. But... anyhow, it is pledge season, so do that thing.
And doing something monthly, I'm very controlling of my budget, so I'll factor in, like, okay, so like The Economist, it's $120 a year for that, which means that's $10 a month. And that's the way my mind works, is that I factor in, like, how much am I spending every month on this thing, and how much do I benefit from that? And if they don't balance out, then I adjust and readjust every year. And so I know extra things happening to help us all become more accountable to the center, and like becoming one of those monthly sustainers can just be something that you evaluate. Okay, I come and take teachings, and nobody ever asked me for money for that teaching, but I know I come, like, you know, twice a month. Would I pay this much for a yoga class? You know, would I pay this much for a movie? I know, depending on whether you're entertained or you're struggling, you know, when you come. So it depends on how your mind works, but that's how we have fitted into our budget and our life. Yeah.
So I get to be the one to ask everybody for money. But I'm going to put a little note in Vincent's on the big spreadsheet to say don't ask Vincent. It's customizable. So it's time for the chart. We have an exciting. Nothing had changed until right before I walked in the Gompa. So first let's go over the numbers. Drum roll, please. They do. So now we were at 139, but now we're at 140,000. So that's fantastic. What's the number we're trying to get to? 200, yes. So we probably have maybe, I didn't look at that this morning, but maybe 20, 24,000 that you probably are going to continue giving because you said you will, but you haven't said it this year. So you know I'm always looking for that so I can put it in the chart. So that would put us up to maybe, say, 160-something, but we're still trying to get to 200. So just giving you perspective and realism. So with this chart, nothing had changed last week, and I didn't even get to put an X mark, but we have filled that spot right there. So we have our fifth 1,000, and what does that mean? And we get to empty Gary's pockets. Yay! Okay, so we finished those two rows. We've got a hefty, the next two rows are a little bigger, aren't they? But we did get the one on the 3,000 level. So, of course, we're still looking for three more of the 3,000 level and some more at the $5,000 level. And as always, would you grab that, Vincent? The basket for it's right behind you. The mug. I'll just show the mug. And if you need the appeal, they're all out front in the lobby. If you haven't been here before and you want to see what we're actually talking about. And if you did, we received a $10,000 check this week. So it was amazing. And that was included in the guesstimations. But the you get a mug if you give a $10,000 check. And if you bring in some toilet paper, so that's equanimity for everybody. they get the mug and special thank you cards. So I think that's it. If anybody actually has any questions about it, I never have asked you. You can just come up to me afterwards and ask. So thank you for giving, and keep going. We have till January 5th for these beautiful announcements, and then we'll close it down. Oh, wait. The procrastinator pledge is on, and I didn't announce that. So at the end of every year, we get this to this point, and we say we've got extra funds that are being given to encourage those who are just kind of waiting. And it's considered that that money is doubled because that money is kind of held until you guys give. So a lot of people do wait for this moment. So this week, the phone calls and emails should just be pouring in with, like, I want to be part of that procrastinator pledge. So when you're ready to call in and talk about that, just give me a buzz. Thanks. Okay, yeah, so I'll do the newcomer Q&A. So if anybody wants to talk, it'll just be like 10 minutes in the back of the Gompa.
Okay. First of all, you see we've got this beautiful offering altar here for our tarot practice, which we did yesterday afternoon. And if anyone would like to stay and help take that down, Gary will oversee that. I'll stick around and help with that a little bit, too. So that's a wonderful opportunity. An even more wonderful opportunity is coming next Saturday. Next Saturday is Lama Tsong Khapa Day. And Lama Tsong Khapa, we can see how important he is because he's right here in front of Shakyamuni Buddha. He is central to our Gelugpa tradition. We study his text, the Lam Rim, in many different forms all the time. So we're going to have like a festival to celebrate Lama Tsong Khapa Day. This is the 600th year since his passing. So it's a nice round number, so we're going to do lots of practice starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday. This is something you can come for just part of it if you're not able to take the whole Saturday. We know it's right before the holidays, but it's really a great opportunity for making merit and celebrating and paying homage to this amazing scholar and practitioner to whom we owe so much right now. And then last of all, you'll remember that a couple of weeks we gave a special song offering to Geshe Gelug for his birthday. Well, today is Geshe Tsongpo's birthday, and he is not here. He's in Asia. So I would appreciate it if everybody would come up to the front of the room so we can be on camera and sing happy birthday to Geshe Tsongpo, and then we'll let him know, and he can tune in to our YouTube stream and see us sing happy birthday. So come on up, everybody. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Geshe Tsongpo. Happy birthday to you. And many more.